We bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your attendance. We always say it, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate that very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, ask my brethren to look around. Make sure you, if you have company with us, that you, if they didn't get a bulletin, please share. You're welcome, as we say, go get one in the foyer. Just don't keep walking out. You'll come back in with your outline. All right. The lesson is from the text that was read to us this morning. Do it with all your might, or whatever your hand finds to do. The verse in verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For, in other words, why would I want to do that? For there's no work, or device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you're going.
Wow.
So I've used by way of giving the lesson five questions to help us analyze the text. So we'll take a look at these who, what, where, why, and when questions to get us started in our lesson this morning. Number one is, who's the subject? Well, the text says it's your hand. It's yours. So I'm taking it personally. My hand. It's I. It's me. My. It's personal. No one's exempt. Whatever your hand finds to do, it's all of us who are alive. That's all of us here today. Yes. You know, I should say, raise your hand, give it, have a check. But who, when you think about the subject, who should work, you know, with all your might? It's me. Me. Take it personally. But what's the subject of the text? Whatever your hand finds to do. That means anything. It's whatever. It's all the things that we would do. No matter what the type, the degree, the kind, or the quality of the task that we're assigned to do. It's any task, any activity. It's all that we would do in our course of daily living. It's whatever your hand finds to do. Now, there's certainly a lot to do in our daily living. The references certainly include our spiritual living. Don't just think of, oh, I have a task at hand. But the way we conduct our course of life, Paul kind of adds to this definition, the Apostle Paul, by adding the word faithful to our whatever our hand finds to do. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he said, moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So whatever task I have at hand, I want to include faithfulness in it, as well as my might. Faithful. Now let's spend time, just a moment on that. Whatever my hand finds to do, whatever, I need to be dependable. I need to be reliable, constant, resolute, dutiful, as in duty. That's right. So in my faithful doing, I want to be dependable on that task at hand. In Revelation 2, verse 10, it says, be thou faithful, faithful till death. Oh, the task, diligence. Do it, Brian, do it. Be faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So whatever my hand, take it personally, what I have to do. Third is, how should all of this whatever be done? How? Well, it's in the text, do it with all your might. With all your might. You want a definition of that? Somebody might think something different, but if we're going to agree, if I'm going to use it with all my might, I'm going to use all the talent I have. I'm going to use all my ability. I'm going to give it my best effort. I'm going to put some gusto into it. I'm going to put some might into it. It means I'm going to do my best. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might. I'm going to use my strength to do it. You know, that's all that we can ask of another. Is get that effort. I put it in your notes. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind. That's right. I want to do that. I want to give it my strength, my might. A willing mind. It's accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. In other words, you can only do what you can do. There's no expectation to do what others do. I need to do what I can do with my hand, with all my might. I'm not expected to do what you can do. In many cases, I can't do what you can do. I may not have the talent or the opportunity. So I need to do what I can do with all my might. Take it personally. What can I do? And that's all the expectation is. Don't look around and see, oh, I never measure up to that, so I'm just not going to do anything. No, that's not what the verse is saying. Whatever your hand finds to do. Take a note in that text. The text is not concerned with the outcome. Did you notice that in the verse? It's not concerned with the result. The verse doesn't say anything about the finished product. It's concerned with your might for the task at hand. It's concerned with your effort, with your trying, with using what you have. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know, when I was teaching in the San Diego Unified School District, I taught special education, elementary school, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Students with, you know, mental delays or Down syndrome, maybe autism, but severely handicapped students. And when teaching students in special education, success was measured in different ways, or many different ways. We would measure the success of my students by their effort, by their trying, or by their number of attempts, or sticking with a task for so many minutes. It wasn't with the outcome. I want you to have this. When you finish, I want to see this huge project. Or I want to see this assembled. No, I want to see the effort you put in to the task at hand. I had a poster on my wall in the classroom, and I put that in your notes. But it was triumph is try with a little ump behind it. That's what triumph means. You are triumphant in just your trying with oomph. Behind it. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might, with your oomph, with your oomph. My students were to try and try again. Try again. I had another poster on my classroom wall. It said, when you can't change your circumstances, change your attitude. Now, that wasn't for my students necessarily. It was for my staff. Because sometimes in teaching students with special ed, there's a lot of room for discouragement. Because the expectation in general education is to see a progression. Almost every week or every month, and certainly by the end of the year. But in special education, with those with severe difficulties, the expectation wasn't as great, and many times my staff would be discouraged because they wanted more results. And I have to remind them many times, you won't see the results in these students until they get to middle school, and you won't see it. But you're laying that foundation. You're laying that support. And something with special ed students, it takes time. And so in the general education, oh yes, I see rapid progression, but not necessarily special ed. So we measure success by effort, by trying, by putting the oomph into the task at hand. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. So this article I've shared before, but it's important, to, I think, to kind of share again. The title of it is just, is Anyway. Anyway. It says, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered, but love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives, but do good anyway. Anyway. If you're successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies, but succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow, but do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable, but be honest and frank anyway. When you spend years built, what you spend years building may be destroyed overnight, but build anyway. People really need help, or the people really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have. You'll be kicked in the teeth. But give the world the best you have anyway. You get the lesson? Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. You do it. The next question was, when? When should we do whatever our hand finds to do? Well, we do our work while we're here, don't we? While we're alive. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, Solomon said, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Our labor, our toil is under the sun, meaning while we live. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I need to work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night comes when no man can work. In other words, I need to do work right now while I'm alive, while I'm breathing, inhale, exhale. Hey, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, but do it now. Do it now. Because we are people who die, when we leave this life, we leave our work here. Can't work after I die. My work stays here. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. Now you realize everything you own will one day be owned by somebody else. Everything. And you don't know how they're going to take care of it. But you can't take it with you. You can't do it. You can lay up treasure in heaven, but you leave behind your cash, and your car, and your house, everything else. Wow. So when should we do whatever our hand finds to do? You do it now. You do it now. Then the question comes, why should we do whatever our hand finds to do here and now? And it's in the verse. He says, he closes out, he says, for there is no work in the grave where you're going. Now you can bury your cash with you, but you won't be able to spend it. Can't do it. He says, there's no work in the grave where you're going. In other words, no work. There's no might and gusto and oomph that you can do in the grave where you're going. There's no work. You have to do it now. He says, there's no device. So after this life means there's no escape from coming judgment. There's no device to get out of it. There's no knowledge There's no information that you can gain after you die that will change your plight. No. There's no wisdom. You can't devise anything to change or overthrow God's plan in the grave where you're going. Can't do it. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, and you know that one, it's appointed to the man once to die. After that, the judgment. So whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, and no wisdom in the grave where you're going. The last section in the lesson this morning is motivation or reasons to do it with your might. Why would I want to heed this verse? How am I going to answer the one who says, and you're going to hear this, someone's going to say, Brian, no one else is giving all their might. No one else even cares, so why should I give it my might and give it my best? My co-worker's not giving their best and they're getting by. Why should I give it my best? Why should I give it my might and my gusto? Why? You know, anytime that you say a person ought to do something, there should be a rationale behind it. Or there needs to be good reason for such an admonition. If I'm going to exhort you, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might, you're going to say, why? Why would I want to do that? So I've given you a couple of things in your notes in answer to that question. As parents, sometimes even your children will say, you give them a task and I say, why, Dad? Why would I want to do that? And I better have a better reason than what my mom told me. She just said, because. That's why. Just because. Plus, if you don't. So number one is in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then each, now remember, take it personally. Each of us shall give account of himself to God. In Amos 4, verse 12, Amos told his people, prepare to meet thy God. And because we're going to meet our God, we better make preparation. And one way we prepare is to whatever task is at hand, we give it the best that we can. Give it the best. Someone said, more people would do their best if they had to put their names on the products they produce. Well, your name is on your life's work. Your name is on that. Your name is on your effort. So that's why. That's number one. You're going to have to give an account of your effort, your might. Not the finished product, your effort. Remember those verses? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Didn't give a finished product or anything. Just says, I want faithfulness in whatever you're doing in life. Be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Faithfulness. Dependability. Reliable. That's the measure of success. Number two, when they say, why should I do this, Brian? Nobody else is doing it. Well, because that's all you can do. You do it with all your might. And again, that's all that's required. I can't do what you can do, but I can do what I can do. That's what I need to do. Number three, because of the alternative. If you don't do your best, you're doing less than your best. That's right. If I don't do my best, I'm doing less than my best. I'm turning in work that even others will know it's not up to standard. And I will know. And I want to live I don't want to live my life with the thought of knowing that I could have done better. I want to live each day with doing my best and giving it that effort and that oomph. You know, you can develop a pattern or a habit of doing less than expected. I put that in your notes. You can develop a pattern, a habit, a lifestyle of doing less than your best. So we want to put our best into practice. You've heard me use this expression. And you've heard the expression, practice makes perfect. That's not right. Practice doesn't make perfect if you're practicing incorrectly. Practice makes permanent. If you're not in the habit of attending for worship assembly and you just keep practicing your lack of attendance, that doesn't make you perfect attendance. Practice makes permanent. Only if you're practicing correctly does practice make perfect. So practice your best so that your best becomes permanent. See? A fourth reason is the reward within itself. You do the right thing even though you don't see anything put back in your hand. I want to do the right thing. I never appreciated my parents saying this to me. You know, well, Brian, it's that warm, fuzzy feeling you're going to get by doing that task. I have a warm, fuzzy feeling is nice, but can't I have a piece of candy or something? Can't you give me something I can see? Something I can hold? Or how about a puppy I can pet? Yeah, they say, oh, Brian, the reward's within itself. It's going to bring you happiness, okay? It's going to give you peace of mind. It's going to give you contentment. That's right. Those are all things that are true. It's going to give you that good feeling just knowing you put forth your best effort. You know, and the longer I live, the more I realize that. There's a reward within itself. Just knowing that I put my best effort into this. Yeah. Don't need an attaboy. I'd like it. But just knowing I put effort into this, my best effort. You will know whether or not you used all your might, even if others don't. Even if they don't know, and if they don't use all their might, you will know that you use yours. That's the rationale behind this text. Remember, the effort, the verse is concerned with your might, your effort. Then a couple others, I put number five, but this is not your note, but just do your best knowing that others care about you. Just know that God cares. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast your all your care upon him because he cares for you. He cares. There's a heavenly host that cares. There's family that cares. I remember my mom telling me that when I was going to grade school. Just give it your best effort, Brian. Give it your best effort. I mean, she would like for me to have all the A's and the good things, but give it your best effort. Try. There are friends that care. They care whether you fall down or not, or succeed. Others care. So give it some gusto. Because people care. No one lives their life but to themselves. You can't say that in life. It's my life, I'll do with it what I want to. Nobody cares. No, people care. People care. And then another one I have is doing your best will have an influence on others to do the same. Others will see what the effort you're putting in, and they'll say, well, if he can do that, I can too. Yep, others will see your effort. Maybe not sure of the outcome, but they see the effort you put in. See the effort. We'll close with this invitation. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3, verse 13, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. Oh. Well, remember, when am I supposed to do my work? Today. Same thing in my response to God. I need to be a Christian. When? Do it today. Today, if you hear his voice, you hear the message, harden. Don't harden your heart. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're not going to offer you salvation after you die. We offer it while you're alive. And that's the invitation. If you've heard the good news that God so loved the world, He gave His Son, you've heard that message. Amazing grace. Sweet the sound. And Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world, preach that gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So Jesus Himself said, in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Well, I don't want to die in my sins. So once I've heard God's message, I want to believe it. Paul asked a question in Romans 10, verse 14. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So we want to preach a good news message, a gospel message that results in belief. I want to give you the evidence, the testimony, so that you can believe. And then Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. I don't want to perish either. So I want to, God, let me hear your good news message, your biblical message. And I want to believe it. And I want that to turn my life around, turn it toward you. And I'm going to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when I do that, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And that's what Jesus sent His disciples out into all the world in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go everywhere. Preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want to hear that salvation message. And when I hear it, I want to believe it and obey it. And that's the invitation we extend when we assemble together. Let's stand together and sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. You have it this morning. You have it right now. You need to respond in a public way. Just let that request, let that desire be made known. Simply have a seat up front here and just say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. So let's sing this song together.